It's the All-Star break for the Brewers. The season resumes on Friday night against the Marlins. It's never an off time for Brewers.com writer Adam McKelvey, who joins us each and every week here on Wisconsin's Midday News. Hi, Adam.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I thought might be covering the All-Star game. I know you've done that before. Is that now because you're such a seasoned veteran of covering Major League Baseball that you get to make the choice?
Well, it's hard to get my wheelchair around in some of those tight spots at the All-Star. You know. No, it's... It's sort of, we share the duties as a 30-plus member staff. So the last one I did was Seattle, which was very cool, except the auxiliary press box was kind of their version of the 300 Club at whatever that – the X-Golf now at Miller at American Family Field. And it was open. So we were like – Adley Rutschman was the only guy swinging left-handed in that derby. And it was like, watch out for sailing home runs. And our Rangers writer, Kennedy Landry, wound up with a home run ball in her lap. So it was quite an experience to cover that derby.
Speaking of the derby, Jordan Walker of the Cardinals, kind of shocking the hometown crowd, taking out Schwarbs. Yeah. Yay or nay on the format from your perspective?
Well, I mean, the way it ended, it was perfect. So, and Kyle Schwarber, I saw in the postgame interview, told correspondent CC Sabathia that he was happy with the format, that it added some drama, let players kind of take a breather. The physical part of that is it's talked about during the derby. I think people get it, but I don't think we talk about it enough. The physical toll of doing that round after round with 45,000 people watching and the adrenaline going and swinging for the fences is incredibly difficult. I don't think that really gets discussed enough, the physical feat that is. I thought it was really cool. And, you know, for Philly, they love to boo, and they got a chance to boo. So it's a win for everybody.
All right, so Miz is in Philadelphia. He's not going to pitch tonight. And initially it was thought, well, he's going to pitch on Sunday against the Pirates, so nope, can't pitch in the All-Star game. And then Sunday was washed out. So I'm trying to apply my own logic to this, Adam, but I'm curious your thoughts. He has thrown 670 pitches at 100 miles per hour or faster. He's never thrown more than 129 innings over a single season. He's already at 111. And I see the Brewers, between August 31st and September 9th, will play the Cubs seven times. I looked at that game against Pittsburgh and said, if you want to pick out one insignificant start for Miz in the entire first half of the season, that would be it. And it's more about being ready for those games than it is closing out the unofficial first half of the season. Is that flawed logic?
No, your logic is sound. The whole case for the Brewers being a World Series contender revolves around Jacob Mizrowski. If they're going to, you know, continue this underdog bid, because they're going to be underdogs going in against the Phillies, the Braves, the Dodgers, and we saw what happened last year against the Dodgers in the NLCS. It's all going to be around getting the best and most out of Jacob Mizrowski in October as you can. So to me, everything that they do revolves around him for the next 3 months. And they put themselves in a really wonderful position. You know, unfortunately, it was a disaster series in Pittsburgh. They needed one win to be the 21st team ever to have 60 wins at the All-Star break. Now, the season starts earlier, so there's, you know, whatever. You get more chances. But still, they had a really wonderful first half, and they put themselves in commanding position in the division. So how they manage this the rest of the way is going to be really interesting. And look at the Dodgers. How did they get to the point of at the end of last season where their starting pitching was so dominant? A lot of that was, you know, the injuries or just resting guys, massaging schedules. They were able to get their starters to the end exactly where they wanted to be. Now, you're talking about Blake Snell and Yamamoto and Tyler Glasnow, guys who like make the entire payroll of the Milwaukee Brewers, so it's not apples to apples. But lining up that pitching and getting as much healthy pitching as you can in October, to me, is like the most important thing for the Brewers the entire rest of the way.
And on that pitching front, you know, we have the situation with Woodruff right now. Who knows what his situation is going to be like this second half of the season, then forecasting down to October. Adam, do you see between now, we've got obviously the deadline coming up on August 3rd. I broached this a little bit yesterday, but I'll ask you as well. What is that move if Matt Arnold is sitting in his office and putting all of his notes together that he has to make to ensure that we take that next step and that we're not having the same conversation that we had last year with a sweep in the NLCS?
Well, every Brewers fan is screaming Tarek Skubal at their radio right now. And all I know is the Brewers never, except for CeCe Sabathia, make the move that those of us in the press box and the casual fan, you know, think is the no-brainer move. So I don't think it's going to be Tarek Skubal. I think it's going to be, again, someone who went that they trade for, and you're a fan and you pull the guy up on your phone and look at his numbers and you scream into your phone, like, what are they doing? This guy's a bum. And then he turns out to be Quinn Priester last year, who, if you looked up his numbers and saw he was pitching at Triple A for the Red Sox and pitching rather poorly, you probably thought he was a bum, and he winds up being their most reliable starter the rest of the way. They are really smart at acquiring guys who can help. They've not had as much luck in the bullpen, so that's another area where I think they'll probably try to add just in the interest of depth. Those are just volatile additions. When you're talking about, say, a starter, you get maybe 12 starts out of a guy. Like, that's in the very, very best scenario and probably stretching into the postseason. So it's such a small sample that you're acquiring, and you're giving up years and years of good prospects to do it. The Brewers have stayed away from those types of deals, and they've instead built around those types of prospects and added here and there. So I'm just going to go on history and say it's less likely they make the big splashy move for a Skubal and more likely they make some sort of depth additions that just allow you to cover these innings, allow you to pitch Jacob Mizorowski where you want him, Brandon Sproat improving the kind of finish to the first half notwithstanding. You know, you've got some arms that are performing well. The Brewers are number two in the league in almost every pitching category. They've pitched very well with this depth approach. And I think if you add some innings that allow you some flexibility to move guys around, rest guys where you want, pitch them where you want and try to get everybody lined up healthy and ready to go for October, I think that's the approach they're going to go. Now watch them go out and get Skubal.
It should be very, very interesting. But to your point, I mean, Skubal is a rental because there's no way the Brewers could afford him long-term. A guy like Sonny Gray, old name, a guy the Brewers were interested, it feels like 10 years ago, and I think
yeah,
they were,
drafted.
You know, has a couple more years of control. But, you know, I think about what happened in 2018. The Brewers essentially got to within one game of the World Series with one starting pitcher. They had one starting pitcher, Yolis Chacin. But they did it with incredible bullpen play from Corbin Burnes, Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff. They were kind of leading that charge. I'm wondering if there is somewhat of a hybrid approach. Let's say it's only Miz and Kyle Harrison who are healthy. Do you add in the bullpen because it's cheaper and then find a way to have an opener and sort of get your way through nine innings? I know it's not always ideal, but the Brewers kind of did that in 2018.
Those are the debates the Brewers are having right now. And you know, again, the satisfying move, the go-for-it move, the one that gets your heart racing, is to go out and get a frontline stud. There's no guarantee that frontline stud in the 10-start window that you get him is that guy, and B, the cost is very, very high. So I'm not saying there's no reason to go out and do it, because there's examples in the history of this game where it's really made a huge impact. And, of course, we saw it here with CeCe Sabathia. That was a franchise-changing trade that was a huge leap of faith for Doug Melvin and Gord Ashe when they made that trade, and it absolutely worked out, and it really changed the course of this franchise. The expectations are forever different based on one second half in 2008. So I'm not saying it's not, you know, a good thing to root for or that it's not smart to do. It can be brilliant to do, but it's a big gamble, and you're gambling away a couple of pieces. You know, what I heard for Skubal is something like the Freddie Peralta trade for a whole year of Freddie Peralta, which is Brandon Sproat, a top 100 pitching prospect in the game who's major league ready, already has his feet in the big leagues, and a top 100 prospect in Jet Williams. So, you know, if you're willing to part with Brandon Sproat, say, just as a total example, you've taken a chunk out of your pitching depth that can help you. That's probably what the Tigers are going to want, because they're not a team dipping into a 5-7 year rebuild. They're going to want players that are ready to play in the major league. So it's the kind of guys that are going to help the Brewers in the second half. And the other thing, guys, we also need to mention is I'm mentioning Skubal just because he's the big fun name. we don't know if the Tigers are going to trade Tarik Skubal. The way the league is now, everybody's kind of hanging around, and the clubs that are like clear sellers are few, and those clubs tend to not have the frontline guys that really make a difference for you in the second half. So it's a very tense time of year for executives who spend all their time debating amongst themselves which strategy to take, how much do you give up. It's a very, very uncomfortable time of year, and then when you make a deal that works out, it's like the most gratifying, exciting time of year.
Brewers resume the regular season against the Marlins on Friday at American Family Field. Adam McAlvey will be there and will be with us again next week. Always appreciate it, Adam. Enjoy the rest of the All-Star break.
Oh, I will. I'm going to be ready. I'm getting my doctor's appointments, my dentist's appointments, my car's getting fixed right now. All the light things are happening. So I'm going to be refreshed and ready to go. Look out.
There you go. Keep checking off the list, Adam. Adam joins us every Tuesday here on WTMJ. It's 12:51.